with all the wings and all the stuff, they were crying out, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, no, goodness, goodness, goodness. Love, love, no. Holy, holy, holy. A thrice holy God, meaning totally holy, meaning holy.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill teaches a message from the New Testament book of Acts, entitled, The Fear of the Lord. Now, Pastor Bill.
This morning, I'm going to teach a sermon or teach a message. This might even feel like just a Bible study in the living room, okay? A little different this morning is a different word that I'll be bringing. I told my wife, I said, in 40 years, you know, we stepped out about 40 years ago into the ministry, and I said, I don't believe, and I even went through all of my sermon titles and of all the sermons I've ever taught, and I said to myself, I don't believe I've ever taught this subject, ever. And my wife said, yes, you have. You've just forgotten it. But I think she's wrong, and I say that lovingly, you know, okay? But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to give you many scriptures. I pray you write these down. But if I ask you questions like, have you ever read one book, studied one book on the fear of the Lord? Have you ever just sat down and done a personal Bible study yourself about the fear of the Lord? Have you ever heard a Sunday sermon on the fear of the Lord? You know, I'm not talking about fire and brimstone. I'm talking about what the fear of the Lord actually is. Amen? I mean, the typical Christian has never studied out the fear of the Lord, nor have they actually heard a sermon on the fear of the Lord, okay? Now, with all of that being said this morning, when we talk about the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the incredible awesomeness of God, the transcendence of God, listen, it's so funny that Jesse, where is Jesse? It's funny that you selected those songs. I said it in the early service. I said, because that's what you call the unity of the Spirit. You follow me? Because we're talking about there's no one like God. Amen? And there's no one like God. But we sing it, but do you really know that? There is no one like the Lord. So this morning, I know that you've heard many sermons on the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the comfort of God, all those things. Those are all great. But this morning, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord. And there's a scripture I'm going to give you later that it literally jumped off the page. Even though I had read it 1,000 times probably, it didn't register with me. I want to preface before I go into what we're going to talk about, the fear of the Lord. I know what warfare is, okay? And I know that pretty much after all these years, you know this method of the wicked one. You know what I'm saying? But I have never experienced the warfare over a message as I have on this one. So much so that yesterday I was here later than normal because it was like... And I know it wasn't God because God's not the author of confusion. But I could not for the life of me even think straight. So I know that there's something that the Lord is wanting to get into our hearts this morning. Amen? We are in revolution. You know, we have 8 months left of this year. So this morning we're going to look at the fear of the Lord and learn about that. And I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures before I get into the sermon. Is that okay? Like I said, it's a different kind of Sunday. So just write them down. Or if you have your app, all the scriptures will be there for you. You can study them out later. But let me begin with the fear of the Lord with Psalm 34:7. You know it very well. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who love him, who fear him. Isn't it funny how we leave that out? I mean, we know the angels of the Lord, we pray, just surround us, Lord, you surround the righteous. But it says those who fear the Lord, it says there, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear the Lord. And then it says, and God delivers them. It says in Psalm 34:9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. Psalm 103:13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Here's what I know. The more a man truly knows the Lord, that man truly begins to fear the Lord. I think we should fear the one who created all things. Amen? I think the one who divided the Red Sea, is that awesome? Come on, we're talking about our Father in heaven. Amen? Let me give you a few more scriptures if you don't mind. Ecclesiastes 8:12, it says, I know surely that it would be well, Solomon says, with those who fear God, who fear before him. Ecclesiastes 8:13. Let us hear, he says, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for that is man's all. Listen to this prayer, and I have been praying it, this prayer of King David. Unbelievable. Listen to what he says in Psalm 86:11. He says in his prayer, teach me your way, O Lord. He says, I will walk in your truth. And here it comes. Unite my heart, the word unite means make the singleness of my heart. Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Think about it. Lord, unite my heart to fear your name, singleness of heart, meaning to honor you, to obey you, to trust you, to no matter what I face in this life, amen? That's what is the fear of the Lord. And you say, well, Bill, what is the fear of the Lord? Can we let the Bible define that instead of me? Amen. Let me read it to you. The Holy Spirit penned it for us. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning. It is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Now listen, that's step one. That is the starting point. That's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One, meaning the knowledge of the Holy One himself is understanding. So you say, well, Bill, so what does that mean? What is the fear of the Lord? Well, it just said it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And I don't know about you, but I need the wisdom of God. Amen? Do you need the wisdom of God? Listen, we are desperate. Do you think there's wisdom in our nation? No, there's knowledge, but I don't see any wisdom. Look at it. Look at our campuses. Look at the things that are happening all over the world. The world is living in darkness, and the world is living in confusion because they don't have God's wisdom, nor do they fear God. Amen? Now, so we look at that. Now, listen to me. If you fear the Lord, I think that means that there is no one more important to you in this life. You say, no, that's all I want. I just want the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to have awe and reverence and respect for his word. Let me give you the scripture. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth, not some of the earth, let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In other words, blown away, awestruck, if you will. And here's why. For it says in verse 9 of that verse, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood still. Now listen, not all of the world, not all the inhabitants of the world fear the Lord, and certainly they don't stand in awe of the Lord. Amen? But my question is this, do you? Do we? Do we stand in awe of God? I'm talking about every day. Do we fear the Lord every day? Listen, he spoke and it was done. No one can do that but God. Listen, our universe was spoken into existence from something that had no existence. Do you understand? Read Hebrews 11:3 and you'll find out. And anyone, I don't care who they are, I don't care how smart they are, anyone who doesn't believe that this world was spoken into existence by our God doesn't have any respect for God's word, doesn't have any awe for God, and he certainly doesn't fear God. Amen? But the question we have to ask ourselves is this: do we fear God? Now, I'm not talking about like he's a killer or something. I don't mean that. But to fear the Lord. Are you in awe of God every day in your life? So the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge of God himself. It's respect for the word. And listen to what else the fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, arrogance, the evil way. And God says, and the perverse mouth I hate. Now, so what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is literally to hate whatever God hates. And what does God hate? Well, we just read it. He hates sin, doesn't he? God doesn't hate people. Listen, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Amen? Romans 5:8, God proves or demonstrates his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, okay? No, God loves people. We don't hate people. We hate sin. Amen? We hate what sin does. Look what sin does. I mean, think about it. I mean, just the other day in my neighborhood, right three blocks from where I live, that person went into the Kroger store and stabbed that worker, that poor girl, all over the place. Do you know what I'm saying? And then right down the street, what, five or six people were shot. This is the world that we live in. God hates sin, but he doesn't hate people. We're to hate what God hates. That is the fear of the Lord. It says in Proverbs 6:16, by the fear of the Lord, one departs or turns away from evil, turns away from sin. Do you fear the Lord? Let me give you a New Testament verse, Romans 12:9. Let us abhor or hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling means to glue yourself to what is good. But we live in a world that's passing away. Amen? Be careful what you cling to. Cling to what is good, not to what is passing away. Don't cling to your past. Let your past go where it doesn't bother you. Amen? Under the blood of Jesus. Now, listen to another verse, and we're going to get to the sermon. I'm just warming you up. Psalm 128:1. It says, blessed, that word again means, oh, how happy, or to be envied, or fortunate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now listen to those who fear the Lord. Listen to how he says he will bless you. He says, those who fear the Lord, it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you'll be happy. That's a good word. And it shall be well with you. Not only are your hands blessed, listen to this one, your wife shall be a fruitful vine. It says, you are like a fruitful vine. Now listen, in the very heart of your house. Now it comes to your children. Your wife's a fruitful vine, but boy, your children, they're like olive plants. Oh, I guess that means rich and healthy and, you know, and they mind. It says, your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Behold, that behold means a wonder. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, and I say this with love. The world's families are in trouble. I don't even need to talk about them. But why are Christian families in so much trouble today? Raising their kids and loving husbands and loving wives and doing the things God wants them to do. Why? Why? Maybe they don't fear the Lord. Oh, now, Bill, that's the Old Testament stuff you're reading. Okay, well, how about this one? Ephesians 5:25, husband, wife, listen to this. Submitting yourselves, how? One to another, how do you do it? Isn't that amazing? Is your marriage, is it put together in the fear of the Lord? Meaning husband, not your will, wife, not your will. It's both of you saying, all we want is God's will. If you don't do verse 21 in Ephesians 5:25, you'll never move into verse 22, 23 and following. Never. It starts with the fear of the Lord. Is it in your home? Is he in your home? The fear of the Lord. Now, the Lord told Judah, They were in Babylonian captivity, remember? And he said, after the 70 years, he said, after the 70 years of captivity are over, God made a promise to Judah, the southern kingdom. He says, I will visit you. And then he gives them this word. He says in Jeremiah 29:12, he says, then, when 70 years is over, he says, then you will call upon me and pray, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen carefully now. And you will seek me and find me. Find me. Is there anything greater than finding God? No. I mean, if you seek me, he says, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Maybe we need to find the fear of the Lord again in the church. Amen. Now, there are those that will say, now, Bill, the fear of the Lord is really, come on, it's just an Old Testament thing. That's true. I was reading Dr. Jeremiah last night. He said there are over 300 references to the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament. But you know what? The fear of the Lord is in the New Testament. Amen? Yes. Let me give you a few. You remember in Luke chapter 5, whenever the Lord spoke to Peter and said, Peter, he said, I need to borrow your boat. Push out into the deep and cast your net. He said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. You don't know anything about fishing. You're a carpenter. You know what I mean? He says, I've been fishing all my life. I know these waters like the palm of my hand, okay? And he says, nevertheless, though, remember what he said? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Meaning he was very, very reluctant. But when he obeyed the Lord, what happened? Him and his partners, the boats that were out there, all of a sudden they were pulling in the nets. There were so many fish that the net was breaking. And as they pulled the many fish into the boat, it said the boat began to sink. You know how many fish it causes a boat to sink? And now, do you remember what Peter did? He says, let me read it to you. It says in Luke 5:8, and when Peter saw it, when he saw what God called these fish, he said, when Peter saw it, he fell down. He fell down at Jesus' knees. He fell down because he knew he was in the presence of someone that he had never been in. Do you understand? He knew that he was before standing or kneeling now before God. Amen? The true God. Now, he says, he fell down at his knees and saying, oh, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Do you know what the fear of God does? The fear of God always brings confession. When you get near to the Lord, you all of a sudden you back down because you know what you are. Do you understand? It's the fear of the Lord. What did Peter do then? He walked away from the fishing business and he became a fisher of men. He followed the Lord. Did you know that Isaiah the prophet had exactly, if you will, the same experience? Remember how the seraphim there in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, the train filled the temple and the smoke was going on, and the seraphim with all the wings and all the stuff, they were crying out, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, no, goodness, 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 love, love. No. Holy, 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 a thrice holy God, meaning completely holy, meaning totally holy, meaning holy. There's no one, as a song we sang, there is no one like God. What happened in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, when Isaiah saw that, he said, oh, he said, what a great day. No, he said, woe is me. He said, woe is me. He said, I'm undone. I'm coming apart at the seams. I'm coming unglued. I'm coming unraveled. I'm falling apart. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. I have a polluted, dirty, filthy mouth, and I live amongst an unclean people. Now listen, and what did he say? But my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Did you know that Peter and Isaiah saw the same person? Except Peter saw God in the flesh here, and Isaiah saw a theophany. Do you understand? The vision. How do you know that? John 12:51, read it later, it tells you so. The same one. They had the same experience. See, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, it brings a confession. You know who you are. You stay in your proper place. You're the King's kids, yes, and you're born from above, all those things. But see, did Isaiah love God? Yes, he did. But when he saw who God really is, high and lifted up. When he caught that vision of that, he saw also his true condition, didn't he? And you know what happened. I don't have time to go in. The angel takes the coal and puts it on his lips. He immediately cleanses the area of his uncleanness. And then God uses him, amen, just like he has us. But we have to understand that maybe we, the church, do you think maybe that we need a fresh vision of the Lord? Do you think that we need to see the Lord high and lifted up again in our hearts where we love him more and more and more? Listen, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, Paul the Apostle says, listen, he says, work out, not work for, work out your own salvation with, say it again. Do you believe the word of God? Listen, if you look up the word fear, do you know that that word means fear? If you look up the word trembling, it means trembling. Why? For it is God who is working in you. The God, think about that. The one who created all things, the majesty himself, he lives in you. He lives in me. And what does he do? He's working in us, the Bible says, for his own will to be done in our lives, for his own good pleasure. But then verse 14 comes. Let me read it to you. It says, do all things without complaining or murmuring, or disputing. Why did Paul just start another topic? No. You know what Paul is saying here? He says, who do you think you're arguing with? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't murmur against God because of the way God is working out your salvation. Do you understand? Or God is leading you here or God is leading you there. Don't argue with God. Fear the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Man, God is working in you. Amen? So the fear of the Lord in the New Testament. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Remember Cornelius. He was a proselyte, if you will. He was a Roman centurion, Gentile. And what happened? They called for Peter to come to the house. And it says about Cornelius that he was a devout man, one who loved the Lord. And it says here that he was one who feared God with all of his household. How about 2 Corinthians? I'm going to get to the sermon. Just bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Paul the Apostle writes a very sobering verse by the power of the Holy Spirit. For we must all, every Christian, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, the place of rewards. Amen? And it says that each one may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. Now listen to what Paul says now. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What does that mean? He said, we win the lost. We go to them and tell them that there really is a hell. Do you understand? We persuade men. How about this one, 2 Corinthians 7, 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves all filthiness, flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Perfecting means bringing it to completion. How? Going from glory to glory to glory into Christ's likeness, into the image of our Lord. Perfecting holiness, and here's how you do it, in the fear of the Lord. You obey him in the fear of the Lord. I remember years ago when we were in the old building there in Fort Worth, West Side, and you know, I led us in worship, and one of the songs we used to do back then was Our God is an Awesome God. Remember that song? You know, Our God is an Awesome, okay. Yeah, that word, we use that word a lot today. Man, was that an awesome football game? Man, was that an awesome sermon? You know, you got to meet this guy. He or she is awesome. Or Caitlin Clark, the basketball lady that just signed with whoever it was. You know what I mean? Here she is right out of college, and Nike gives her $28 million, man. That's the truth. She is the most awesome female basketball player of all time. Awesome. Listen, there is only one, that word is reserved for only one person. And it's not reserved for any of us because we are not awesome. There's no one on this world that is awesome. God is awesome. See, to fear the Lord, he is the awesome God. Are you in awe of God? Do you fear the Lord? That's what we're talking about this morning. Listen, I don't know about you. Don't you think we should fear the one who sees everything we do, who knows everything we think, who hears everything we say, who knows everything about us?
We hate to interrupt this study, but we are all out of time.
But Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we pray the remainder of your day is blessed. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.